Today, we'll talk to Kenny of KennyThePirate.com about his five favorite character experiences at Disney World. That's coming up on this episode 15 of WDW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WDW Prep to Go, where we talk Disney World strategy and ideas for people planning their trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert, the creator of WDWPrepSchool.com. Welcome to this episode, which I am really excited about, but I probably say that on every show because I genuinely am excited about them. You can find me on the website with a couple of new posts a week, and you can also find me all over social media, including Pinterest, where I just passed 5,000 followers there, which is really fun. That was sort of one of the first places that I joined when I started the site because I had a lot of graphics that were being pinned. And so that's been a great community. And also on the Facebook page where we will be hitting a milestone number of likes or fans on that page as well. And I love hanging out there and having conversations. So today I'm talking to Kenny of KennyThePirate.com, and I'll have my chat with him here in just a minute. Before I do that, I want to take a chance to have the iTunes review of the day. I'm going to read it and encourage you to do the same. Been very lucky to have lots of 5-star ratings and reviews, and in a field of so many Disney World podcasts, it's super important, and it's been great. So here is a fantastic review that was just left, and the title is Candid, Accurate, Timely, and Enthusiastic. And this was by someone named SomeGuy456. And SomeGuy456 says, Shannon's enthusiasm is contagious. Even if you're not planning your next Disney vacation, you'll quickly start thinking about the details of a new trip. It's plain to see that Shannon is a wealth of firsthand information, and she's generous with praise and critique alike, telling you what's worth your time and money and what's not. Even for an experienced Disney traveler, her advice always includes tips and details that are useful for my family, a magical resource. Thanks. And I really appreciate that. What SomeGuy456 says is accurate in that I am enthusiastic. I love planning trips, but I do have critiques here and there. I don't have a negative view of Disney World, but I do have criticisms here and there, and I'm not afraid to share those. Another person who has that enthusiasm is Kenny from KennyThePirate.com, and he and I have a mutual goal of just helping people to have great trips. And that might seem obvious. You might think, isn't that true for anybody running a Disney site? But you know, I think some people have different goals in mind, and sometimes it's ego driven, and they're trying to, you know, think about how they can build their audience and that kind of stuff. But we have a goal of helping people. And if that means telling you to go to another website for information, we're totally fine with that. And it's not about us. It's about helping. That's why I really like him. He's one of the good guys, and I am happy to call him a friend. So Kenny is going to talk today about how he became this character expert, which I think is maybe a question people have. You know, how did this grown man get so interested in characters? But his story is actually, it's a nice story, and it's sweet, actually. And he's also going to share his thoughts on FastPass Plus, which is a hot topic right now and one that he is on top of. He is always sharing new information, and he has become the best source for it lately. And he tends to know the changes before most other people do. And so I'm able to pass those on to listeners and readers as I learn them from him. And then finally, he's going to share his 5 favorite character experiences. And I was genuinely surprised at least a couple of them on his list. They weren't ones that I was super familiar with, but I found it fascinating, and I just thought he brought lots of good information. And at the end of the interview, or after the interview, don't forget to stay tuned for my quick tip of the day. So without further ado, here is my chat with Kenny of KennyThePirate.com. I am talking today to Kenny from KennyThePirate.com. This is actually our first time speaking to each other, even though we've been talking online for a long time. Hello, Kenny.
Hey, Shannon.
I'm glad to have you, and to be speaking to you with our voices instead of on email. So
that's a good thing.
So you have become known, although your website has information outside of just characters, you have become known as sort of the character guy. Can you explain to people how you got started? Because I really like your story and how you became sort of interested in characters.
Yeah, it's kind of twofold. First, we would take our kids to the parks. I think we started coming to the parks around 2003 when they were really small. And my daughter really had a passion for meeting the characters. My son had an interest in more of the male characters, but my daughter loved meeting all the characters, my oldest. And we would go around and meet characters and gather autographs and do everything that any other family would do when they're visiting Disney World. And we had to really work hard to figure out where those characters were and what time they were going to show up. It was constantly asking cast members questions. Where's this character? What time will they be there? Times guide was incomplete, and you know, it's kind of a challenge in a way, but we enjoyed it. We loved hunting characters down and trying to find them, and that kind of continued over until the point where I myself became a character. In 2007, I won the Disney Dream Job in California and had the opportunity to actually portray the role of a pirate on stage in Disneyland. And so by becoming a character and seeing the eyes of those little kids just light up when they met you, they were so excited, you know, oh, can I have your autograph? And just, I only had about an hour to spend with them on stage, but just to interact with those little kids and play with them and just, you know, be corny and silly. And then, you know, they would ask for your autograph and you'd sign their book. And I had this one last experience when I was about to walk off stage, and a young girl came up to me and she's, a little voice, you know, oh, Mr. Pirate, would you sign my book for me? And so I said, sure, you know, I'd be happy to do that in my pirate voice. And, you know, I'd be happy to do that for you. So so I took the book and I started to sign my onstage name, which was Bad Mood the Blackhearted, which was nothing more than a heart with a sad face because pirates couldn't really spell. So I started to draw that out for her. And the mom says to me, you're the first character she's ever met at a Disney park. And it hit me that my last experience with a kid on stage was this child's first experience. And I thought, you know, I wonder one day, will this kid look back at this book and say, I remember meeting that pirate guy, and how valuable that was of a moment for that child to take a photo with me, to have the autograph. And from that point on, I personally became more interested in meeting the characters, not just meeting them with my daughter.
That's a sweet story. I really like that. So you then decided that you would be the resource for the character data that you had a hard time finding.
Yeah, which, about 2011 is when I started that.
So a few years went by, and now, if I can say so, you have the best source for information.
Well, thank you.
Including a mobile subscription type service that people can pay a couple dollars for and have that on their phones, correct?
Yeah, that would be our characterlocator.com app that we developed for people to be able to use to find characters and entertainment and rides and dining, basically anything that you would do while you're in the park.
Now, although you're known as the character guy for the best character information, you have added some functionality to your site that is beyond just that. So can you talk a little bit about some of that stuff that you have done in particular this year?
Well, that's whenever we began to implement more of the data that we have from the character locator side. One of the things that we're able to do now is not just to provide, you know, like there's a lot of places now that you can see the live feed of wait times in Disney World, including Disney's own site, their own app. A number of different people have that information. We've decided that we're going to store the information and then allow people to go back and look at it as a graph. So it'll have a historical track of any given day of every ride in Disney World. And at this point, we've collected over 2 million data points already just for that one little thing that we created. And that's at characterlocator.com/graphs, and it's free. So that's something that people can play around with.
And I will include a link to that in the show notes in case people are out, you know, driving and don't remember what they're hearing here. So just look for that in the show notes. And if for those of us who are data nerds, myself included, that information is so fun to just sort of look at and analyze and just trying to figure out how to plan your own trip. So I love that you've done that.
And it's been interesting on my side. We kind of toyed with what we could do with FastPass, but we haven't really done anything with it yet in the public way, but we've been watching how FastPass work. And I noticed on early October, around the 5th through the 7th, is when a drastic change took place in Hollywood Studios in Epcot as it related to the biggest attractions like Toy Story Mania, Soarin', Rock and Roller Coaster, Test Track, those kind of rides. We noticed that the time that Fast Passes were running out had been cut by 3 hours. So, you know, by storing that data, we're able to kind of take a look at that. And eventually we might get to the place where we can present that data as well.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And presumably that's tied to the FastPass Plus testing that's been going on.
Yeah, exactly. Because what they did was when more resorts came online in early October, then they cut the number of paper FastPasses that people can have. They changed the distribution rate, basically. And say, like, for example, we were noticing that Test Track might run out at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on a fairly average basis. It all of a sudden dropped to 10:30 in the morning.
Wow. And in early October.
Yeah, I believe it was around October the 7th. I could check that, but it was around that time period where it just suddenly changed. And I initially caught that by looking at Hollywood Studios, and I thought, well, the park hours are lower. Maybe that's affecting, you know, how fast the fast passes run out. Obviously, it would. And then I thought, well, Epcot's solid because it's always the same time, except on Friday and Saturday. It's always during Food and Wine, it goes to 10 p.m. But otherwise, it's usually 9 p.m. close. Mm-hmm. So it's not a park hours issue. And we weren't seeing a huge increase in wait time. So it wasn't apparently more people showing up. I was like, wow, what kind of weird anomaly is this? And that's whenever I recognized that FastPass Plus had been given more entitlement and paper FastPass, or Legacy as they're calling it, has been given less entitlement.
Right. Yeah, I hope that it sort of balances out as it, you know, becomes a fully rolled out new system, because running out by, you know, early or in the middle of the morning on during an unbusy time is really bad for people that haven't booked their FastPass Plus ahead of time. So,
yeah, and I mean, honestly, during Christmas, it's probably going to run out even faster when there's more people and a higher demand. But they do have a little longer park hours by and large. That could help some. But I mean, next spring they're going to eliminate Legacy FastPass entirely. So it's going to be FastPass Plus or nothing at that point.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting. I know a lot of people are very nervous because it's not clear how to plan their trips when things are kind of up in the air. So speaking of FastPass Plus, are there certain there are a lot more options with FastPass Plus than there was with FastPass. So are there certain character interactions that you definitely recommend people take advantage of FastPass Plus, keeping in mind that you can only get 3 a day?
Yeah, I recommend that you would use FastPass Plus. I would use it to meet Rapunzel because she has one of the highest wait times for a character of any of the characters in the park.
And that's at Princess Fairytale Hall in Magic Kingdom?
That's correct.
Okay.
And they currently do offer a paper FastPass for that as well, mm-hmm. but they run out pretty fast, and there's no posted time. And they distribute those next to Peter Pan at the same location that they distribute them at the Peter Pan for Peter Pan. But there's no posted return time. So you don't know until you either ask the person in front of you who just got one, or the cast member or someone, you know, about what time is the return. So you don't really have a way to plan when you're going to return to meet Rapunzel. But if you use FastPass Plus, you know you're guaranteed the exact time that you set to come and meet her. You could also use it for Cinderella if she's really highly important to you, but you also, you know, you can meet Cinderella in a number of locations and meals and things like that. Or you could use the paper fast pass right now until spring. Hers doesn't run out as quickly as Rapunzel.
I have a couple of thoughts on what you just said. You mentioned Cinderella. She's also a Princess Fairy Tale Hall. And to see both, you have to have two different fast pass. It's two different lines. But you're saying Cinderella's at other places, so maybe focus on Rapunzel if you're going to, limited to 3 Fast Pass pluses per day. But also, I know starting this week, they are phasing out the legacy old fast passes for on-site guests. So those.
Actually, that's incorrect information that someone posted on the internet. That's still going to remain the case. They'll still have that. The test that's going on currently is just with cast members.
Okay.
All the guests who are here are still capable of using their hotel key to get fast passes. I just tested it to make sure, and I had friends test for me as well. I tested Friday, Saturday, and I had some friends test for me on Sunday. And we're still finding that it's exactly the same system. And I spoke to a person who has a great deal of knowledge in the system, how it works, and asked that person, will this change? Are the hotel keys not going to provide fast passes any longer? And the person said, no, it's going to stay the same until legacy fast pass or paper fast pass is eliminated. So that's kind of a rumor that was generated on the internet. That was kind of shared with a little bit of an incorrect information there. I don't think it was intentional. But yeah, the paper fast pass will continue, and you can still use your hotel key to get those if you're staying on site. Now, otherwise, you could just use your park ticket, but you don't have access to Fast Pass Plus unless you stay at a Disney resort.
And okay, so I'm glad you cleared that up because I definitely thought that that was happening this week, starting this week. But I do know that some people, when they checked into on-site resorts, they have their magic bands and they haven't been offered the key to the world, the card. So it's still an option. So if they aren't offered it, they can certainly ask for it and use both systems for now.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose if that's happened to someone, they certainly should request that. Like I said, my friend who has a great deal of knowledge of the system said that those cards are still supposed to be issued to every guest because they're a backup system. If the FastPass Plus system with the wristband isn't working properly, say at one of the purchase points, you tap the Mickey head and you punch in your 4-digit code that you preset yourself. If that system itself has any sort of hiccup, then they need that swipe because the swipe on the card has all the same information connected to your room, charging privileges, etc. So it's still acting as a backup right now, excuse me, until the full system's been released.
That makes sense because I know that there have been issues with the magic bands, and so it's nice to have a backup in
Oh,
case.
there's tons of issues. Guest relations is full almost every day.
Okay, so far you have basically recommended Rapunzel to use one of the fast passes for Rapunzel. Are there other characters that you can recommend as well?
You might want to look at either meeting Ariel early in the morning when she doesn't have a wait, or you could use Fast Pass Plus to meet Ariel as well. There's going to be some unique ones that are going to come online. I don't know when. They haven't set a specific date that will be Fast Pass Plus exclusive. Currently, those ones that we know for sure are going to be Winnie the Pooh Winnie the Pooh and Tigger in Epcot, and Minnie Mouse in Hollywood Studios, and then the character landing, which is in Discovery Island in Animal Kingdom, will eventually become a Fast Pass Plus exclusive area also. The rumor has that Daisy and Donald will relocate there. No one's 100% certain what the Magic Kingdom's going to do yet, but they probably will also offer a Fast Pass Plus exclusive. And by exclusive, that means you can't walk up and meet in the standby line as a normal meet and greet.
Right.
Or it doesn't offer two lines like Magical Words with Mickey currently does. It's so you'll have to book a Fast Pass Plus if you want that specific character in that location. But those same characters can be met elsewhere, but just in different costumes.
Okay, that's good information. So it looks like there's a couple different FastPass Plus things that you would recommend, and then when those exclusive things come online, then those will be good options for people to take advantage of.
Yeah, especially if it's something that you're really passionate about, meeting Minnie Mouse or Winnie the Pooh, it could save you a lot of time. For example, the other day I used FastPass Plus to meet Rapunzel, and my wait time was 13 minutes, where the posted wait time was 35.
Mm-hmm.
I used the paper FastPass to meet Cinderella, and she had a posted wait time of 20 minutes, and I literally just walked right in. We did Enchanted Tales with Belle, which isn't exactly a meet and greet. You do get a photo op at the end of the show, but with that, there was a 45-minute wait, and we walked straight in. There was no wait. So, you know, those are some options that you might look at. Some that I would never use it for the character slot in Epcot, because the wait time there never exceeds 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really worth it. Don't waste that. Either, you know, go there in the morning, go there in the evening if you do see a higher wait time, but don't waste the fast pass on that.
Yeah, those are good tips. And I think too, at like parks like Animal Kingdom and Epcot, there's really two rides at each park that really need fast passes. And so it's nice that there's going to be these exclusive character experiences that will be a really good use of the third Fast Pass Plus for that day.
Yeah, and Hollywood Studios as well. I mean, you're going to want to use your Fast Pass Plus and book it as far in advance as you can for things like Toy Story Mania, Epcot for Soarin' and Test Track, because you may not be guaranteed of getting one. We don't know how that full system's going to work yet. I would reserve it as soon as possible. If I'm going on vacation and I know I'm going to be there on Tuesday, then I'm going to go ahead and book those fast passes. And then it's going to require that you get 3 fast passes. So, you know, you choose 3, and then you can always change it on the fly while you're there.
Mm-hmm.
But in my brief amount of testing that I've done with the system, it doesn't always work. Sometimes you want to change to a different time, and it tells you there's no time available. Or you might want to change to a different attraction, and it tells you there's no other attractions available. So you may be stuck with whatever that third one is.
People that are nervous about FastPass Plus are more nervous now.
Sorry.
Well, but I mean, I'm hopeful that, you know, things will be worked out, because in all fairness, it is in testing.
Yeah.
And so we'll see how it goes when it's fully live. So
yeah, with it sharing the paper system still, it doesn't have full capability either.
Right. So I appreciate you sharing some of those tips. I've never had kids that were indie characters, and so it's not something I know a lot about. So I always learn a lot from you. So I wanted to spend a few minutes talking about what your favorite character experiences are. And I think you have a list of 5 to share with us.
Yeah, I would say number 5 is Chip and Dale. Chip and Dale are a lot of fun because you can get those two guys to just act crazy. I usually put them in like a dance competition where they're competing with one another. And I might have them, you know, who's better, is it Chip or Dale? Which one of these two guys is the better character? You know, just have them clowning around with each other, because, I mean, it's hilarious. You want to get your video camera out to watch them compete to see who's best.
So Chip and Dale, it just in general or at a specific location?
Oh, any location. Anytime you can meet Chip and Dale, they're always going to be fun to mess with.
So, I mean, speaking of messing with them and having them dance and stuff, one of your most popular things on your site is character interaction ideas. And so for Chip and Dale, I assume it would be, you know, what you just said. So I'll link to that in the show notes as well, because I find that very interesting, because it's fun to have fun with the characters. So we'll link to that in the show notes.
All okay. Right. And number 4, I would say, is the Citizens of Hollywood. That probably wasn't one that many people would list, but I always try to take some time when I go to Hollywood Studios and take part in one of the Citizens of Hollywood shows or more, because they're so funny. I mean, these guys are some of the best comedic actors around, and you could one minute be part of them casting a new movie. The other day we went in and Jack Diamond was doing magic tricks for the kids. So, I mean, there's just so many different things that those guys can create in just a few minutes. The streets, the guys who are the street performers, you know, who are the public works, they're funny. They get out there and ham it up with people, you know, talking about needing to repair fire plugs and stuff. So I would say the Citizens of Hollywood should be on your list of things that you want to see when you're in Hollywood Studios.
I'm fascinated that you said that, because those aren't any, you know, they're not classic Disney characters that people would typically look for. But, you know, even as somebody who doesn't get into characters, like our family doesn't, we always stop for them. They're really funny, and they're definitely worth watching. for a while.
Number three, I would say, is the Tremaine family, which is not listed in any Disney publication. Evidently, Disney doesn't know they exist, so they're not listed on the Times Guide. They're not in Disney's app. They're not on Disney's website. So currently, the only way that you can find them is on my site or through our app, as far as knowing exact times to meet them and locations. They usually meet only in the morning at the Magic Kingdom, and they meet around the new castle wall, and they're going to meet on whichever side is shady. So if the shade is on the back side, then you'll find them on the back side. If the shade's on the front side, you'll find them on the front side. But you can get in there with the Tremaine sisters and have them, you know, hamming it up with, you know, who can sing better, and you know, you can have them sort of, you know, if you have a son, you can bring your son along, and they're going to want to try to fight over him. And of course, Lady Tremaine wants to know how many castles the son owns. And so the Tremaine family is definitely a high one for me.
Wow, that's fun. I didn't know about that. So good tip.
And then number two, I would say, is Gaston.
Mm-hmm.
Because Gaston is so full of himself that he makes for a fun character interaction, because he wants to tell you how great he is, you know, brag about his exploits. Recently, whenever I met him in the Magic Kingdom, I did an interview with him, and it was pretty funny watching him act out all of his antics. And I asked him, I said, well, why are the animal heads inside of Gaston's Tavern in the new Fantasyland area, why are those animal heads so small? And do you only hunt tiny animals? And Gaston's response was, of course not. Those animals just appear small in relation to my immense personality.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, you get him talking about Belle and how Belle, you know, how she should fall in love with him because he's the best, and who wants to fall in love with an old beast? You know? So I would say Gaston's number two for me.
Okay. I think that's a good one. And I think that characters like him that are sort of not sweet are sort of more fun, because they can have more fun with guests. And
exactly.
Right. Yeah. So I think that's part of what makes it so much fun. Okay. So yeah. Your number one is?
Number one, I think it's going to surprise you. I would say Scoop Sanderson. The reason I would say Scoop Sanderson is not only is he an interesting citizen of Main Street, but if you stand and you interact with him and you're having a good time chatting with him, you can trade pins with him. And so if you're into the pin trading aspect of Disney, then you can sit and trade pins. He might have some really good pins with him where other cast members tend to have the same trader pins that you might see anywhere in the park. But he might have some good pins, and so you might trade with him. And if he enjoys the conversation with you, and he seems like you're really passionate about pin trading, and you want to talk about what it is to, you know, what's going on in the news at the Magic Kingdom, because he's the Magic Kingdom reporter, he'll tell you all the latest gossip and all the latest news. If he catches, you know, you kind of catch interest with him, then he'll offer you a limited edition pin that you can't get anywhere else in the world. It's his own Scoop Sanderson pin. So, but, you know, obviously don't pretend to like him. You know, if you actually really do care about what, you know, interacting with him, and you're having fun, and you want to know what's going on, then he might offer you one of those pins. You can't ask for it, because he won't hand it over if you specifically request it. But you can get a very limited edition pin from him.
So you don't recommend that people say, Kenny the Pirate said you'll give me a pin.
No, please don't. Because he probably doesn't even know who Kenny the Pirate is. Second to that, he would be like, no. No, it's, you know, it's supposed to be meant to be fun and magical. So whenever you meet with him, he might present you one. And there's a chance that he would if you're interested in him.
And where can people find him at Magic Kingdom?
He's going to be on Main Street somewhere. He doesn't work every day, maybe 4 or 5 days a week. At this point, I still don't know their exact schedules for each citizen. I need to learn that myself. But I do have the schedule on the blog for when the citizens appear in general. So if he happens to be on Main Street, you'll notice he looks like a 1920s looking reporter, you know, with a card on his hat, and he's taking notes and that sort of thing. So you'll see him somewhere walking down Main Street on those times that are on the block.
Well, you said that one would surprise me, but I would say all five did. And I really like your reasoning for including all of them. So just to quickly recap, that was number five was Chippendale, number four was the Citizens of Hollywood, number three was the Tremaine family, number two was Gaston, and number one was Scoops Anderson at Magic Kingdom.
That's correct.
Good, I love it. I learned a lot of new things just from that list. So I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
All right, so any before we wrap it up today, any last minute thoughts or plans for you're living in Orlando? Do you have any new insights since you moved there or new content you're planning for the site?
I'm not really sure. I'm still trying to figure out what that is. I am doing a great deal of testing with the FastPass Plus stuff right now, so I'll probably put together a practical guide to using FastPass and FastPass Plus. It may take me a little while to develop that, but because I want it to be correct and I want it to help people, I've noticed that a lot of the touring suggestions that people make, they don't tend to include the idea of how to use FastPass Plus effectively. I'll give you an example. One of the things that I'm curious about is how will it work with how will it help you with rides like Tomorrowland Speedway? In my opinion, it seems like it might be beneficial to use your FastPass Plus there rather than Space Mountain. And the reason being because you don't have to stand in the sun with gasoline fumes for 35 minutes where you could just literally walk right up. Otherwise, you're going to have to go there pretty close to rope drop or wait until the park is close to closing to ride that attraction without a wait. So that's the kind of things I'm studying right now. I'm experimenting. I'll go in the park and I'll try using paper FastPass with FastPass Plus and see what I can pull off. I did notice also, Shannon, that you can use your three allotment of FastPass Plus, which is the electronic version. You can use a Disney World. I use the Disney World room only hotel key that actually is expired. I've booked a one night hotel stay just to enter the FastPass Plus system with my annual pass. And so I tied my annual pass to the FastPass Plus wristband. So I have the hotel key that, and then third, I still have the physical annual pass plastic card. So I was able to retrieve FastPasses by the three FastPass Plus using the hotel key and using my annual pass. And so that was really maximizing my experience with the Magic Kingdom by doing that.
And I should point out that we are recording this in October 2013. So if people are listening in 2014 by chance, there's a good chance that that will have all changed.
Yeah, that would be a totally different system. We'll review it then.
That's right. So be sure to check up on Matt on a FastPass Plus and how that's working for whenever you're listening.
Sounds great.
So I appreciate, and I will look forward to your thoughts on FastPass Plus and the whole Magic Band system as you kind of try to figure it out, because I know we're all looking for answers. So I will look forward to your view on that.
Thanks, Shannon.
All right. Thanks, Kenny. Appreciate it.
Have a nice day.
So I hope you enjoyed that interview with Kenny as much as I did. I know I learned a lot of new things, and I just want to thank Kenny for taking the time to do that and teaching us a lot in that, 30 minutes or so that we had together. So, and all the information that we talked about in that interview will be in the show notes, and I will give out that link in just one second. But before we go, I wanted to talk to you about my quick tip of the day. And my quick tip of the day is to do online check-in if you are staying on site at Disney World. This is something I get asked a lot. People say, should I do online check-in? What are the pros and cons? And so I'll just take a second to explain it. Online check-in is something you can do 60 days before your trip begins, and basically it allows you to do some of the check-in process before you get to Disney World so that when you do arrive at Disney World, some of the steps have already been completed and your information will be put together in like a folder packet that they have ready for you at the desk. I always do online check-in, and I really like to go faster when I get there. I want to get through the line as soon as possible. The only reason that I can think of that you wouldn't want to do it is that it is for people who like to request room upgrades. And I think a lot of times it's people that request room upgrades for free, or they booked one view and they're hoping to get a different view. If you check in online, they will assign you a room based on what you booked. So if you booked a standard view room, there's a good chance they're going to get a standard view room. But if you wait and just do the check-in at the hotel, then you have a chance to ask them if you can be upgraded. And so that would be the bonus. But if you check in online, you can do some requests there. Like you can say, I'd like a view of this certain thing, or I'd like to make sure I have a balcony if you're staying somewhere that has balconies. Or there's a few things you can do when you do the online check-in as far as requests. But to do a whole room upgrade is something you would want to do when you get to the resort, and you might want to skip the online check-in. Otherwise, I like doing it, and I really like saving time when I'm at Disney World in any way that I can. So that's my tip of the day. I recommend doing the online check-in. I think that is going to wrap up this episode of WDW Prep to Go. For more information on this show, including all the links that were discussed in the interview with Kenny, you can visit wdwprepschool.com/episode15, and that is the number 15. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.